Hello everyone and welcome to This Nomad Life. I'm Minivan Lee of Minivan Lee on YouTube and on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere. And we have Paul here too.
And I am Paul. I'm the new guy on the block. Been doing this a short time and loving every minute of it. And I hope you folks have been loving every minute of it too.
Yes, every Friday we put out a podcast. Interesting, riveting subjects that have to do with just anybody living in a house and also about nomad life.
Well, we always try to connect nomads into things, and because nomads experience everyday things just like someone living in a house.
Oh, I'm a nomad, but I do everyday things. I don't just camp all the time. I mean, I like city life and I go places and I like to hunker down, as I call urban nestling, and I like to just live my life as I would have if I would have been in a house. And that's what I do. I get up, have my coffee, do my exercising, do my videos, do my work, do some writing.
And you said you spent some time at the laundromat today.
Gosh, that is a normal everyday thing, yes. And I washed my van too.
Yeah. And I spent time at the laundromat also, getting things cleaned up, including an old sleeping bag that I don't want to tell you folks how long it has been since I've had that and have not washed it or cleaned it. I did run it through the dryer once a little bit ago. But it needed it badly. And I have a brand new sleeping bag, and now I'm just using the old one as a pad. And boy, it added comfort to my cot. I love it.
And if you guys didn't know already, if you're new to the podcast, we record right in Paul's rig. It's a Ram ProMaster 2500. It's large. And we're just sitting here in his front seats with our microphone talking to you good folks.
Well, and I hope you can hear the traffic. Not real warm today. It's high 70s maybe. I haven't looked lately, but it's been overcast. It's kind of well, Lee can tell you better than I. She's an old Tucsonian for years and years, but it's been cloudy all day. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It's glorious. For Tucsonians, we're like doing jigs in the street, because in Tucson, it's like almost 99% days are sunny. It's a nice break.
I bet.
You don't always want the sun shining on you. I mean, it's wonderful, but yeah.
But it gets old sometimes.
Well,
and it
it's
creates
a nice
more
break.
Heat.
Yeah, and then and it's nice to have a cover. Because during the day, you're always running for cover. I mean, otherwise, your skin just is in the sun too much. Yeah.
I came by the In-N-Out Burger across the street on the way here, and I noticed that every table, which is six or seven of them outside the restaurant, was full of people this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are in Phoenix or in Tucson, you're so thrilled when it's cloudy outside.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, what should we talk about today?
Well, we did spend 4 or 5 days out on BLM land, and we got out of the city, which was really nice, and we went to Snyder Hill.
That was very, very different. It was a nice change.
I thought you were going to say it went very well.
Well,
but you changed it midstream.
You know, it's dirty boondocking. There's no two ways about it. I mean, I love it, but the wind blows occasionally, and it blows dirt around, and you can't help but get it in your rig. Perhaps you folks have seen the video that we put up recently where I put I call it the bridal veil. It's a white mosquito netting, and I put it over my sliding door on the van. Well, mosquito netting does not keep dirt and dust out of the van in no. any way, shape, or form. So I know you spent a lot of time cleaning up your rig today, didn't you, Lee?
Oh, yeah. I washed everything. And if I didn't wash it, like my pillows, I put them through the dryer. And it just, everything was dusty. Everything was just, we had to wipe everything down. I know you did, too. It's different. There are different types of public lands, different types of camping. And if you're in Arizona, I mean, if you're back east, what, you've camped more back east than I have. Right. Is it just dirt? It's just dirt, but it's not dust.
Generally, it's dirt that is either covered with leaves or pine needles off of pine trees of some sort. So at least something is holding the dirt down a little bit, whereas it's a little different out here.
I mean, dirt is dirt back east. This is dust. Mm-hmm. And if the wind blows, it just creates a cloud of dust. It was different, but we, in Quartzsite, we boondock in a different area of Quartzsite to where we like to have that carpet of stones. Mm-hmm. So it's not so bad.
It only gets bad out there when the wind really blows. I mean, and when you're in Quartzsite, when you talk about the wind blowing, we're talking about 35 to 45 miles an hour on what they say is a windy day. So
it's a wind gust.
It is really blowing.
Yeah. And it will tear up your skin too. Mm-hmm. With all the sand blowing at you. Well, the wind didn't blow the first few days. But still, Abby had dust all over her fur.
And it never fails, folks. And any of you with dogs, I'm sure you can relate. Lee put down a tarp, but still, that would become dusty. And Abby would lay on the tarp, sometimes on the dirt and the dust. And then she'd come in, and invariably, she'd get up in her bed, which is the passenger seat of my van, and shake her whole body.
Oh my
and you
gosh.
Could just see the dust coming all over. And but yeah. She's a dog, you know, that's what they do.
And when she saw another dog, she would bark, and then she would rustle the dirt like she was a horse, kind of like her hoof was pushing, and she'd spread dirt all over the canvas. So
I think that's a dog way of saying, don't mess with me, I'm pretty tough, watch how I can rake up the dirt with my hind legs or something. So, well, hey, by the time you folks hear this episode of This Nomad Life, we'll already have had one of the big holidays of the year, and that would be Thanksgiving yesterday. We are looking forward to, we're recording this ahead of that, a couple of days, obviously, and we're looking forward to it. We've had a wonderful invitation from Lee's daughter and her friend, and she told me about some of the foods that are going to be prepared, and all of the best things for Thanksgiving are going to be on the table, and it's going to be wonderful. I am ready to do the old stuff. Eat and stuff, and then think, why did I eat all that, or how did I eat all that? Do you normally stuff yourself at Thanksgiving, Lee?
No.
No, not at all.
Well, I don't want to be miserable. I mean, I've had years where I have, or maybe when I was younger, but no, not, I don't want to be miserable. And I will mention, I know that this isn't a happy thought, but more heart attacks happen during Thanksgiving.
Had to tell me that.
I know, because it's putting pressure on the heart, and if you have any kind of heart condition, you're going to put strain on your heart.
Well, I'll try to behave.
I know. I'll try to just take a few bites here and there, and it is in the evening too.
But I'm still looking forward to it.
Oh, of course.
And so many of those things, you only have them once or twice a year. The from the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce and the green bean casserole. Oh, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Well, now Thanksgiving is the start of the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So it is now the holiday season. So what are you going to do for the holidays there, dude?
Chris, you're talking the
holidays,
the biggies?
The big holidays. This is it.
Well, I haven't really thought about it other than what I've heard. And that is, there are a number of places, especially downtown Tucson.
Well, now, what I have mentioned to you is, in this one, it's called Christmas Avenue or something. It's called Winter Haven.
Oh!
And it's a big neighborhood.
Okay.
That, well, I think to live there, it's required to decorate. I think they, of some sort. But a lot of people, they park around the neighborhood. You can't drive through it the way they used to, but you can walk through it. So okay. We'll go do that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. I look forward to that.
And of course, downtown is going to be decorated also. And they do have a big decoration, and there's like a weekend where I think a lot of people end up there. So we'll have to ask my daughter, you know, when that happens.
Right. Oh, I look forward to that. Wasn't the song, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Right, and my favorite version was Andy Williams.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite Christmas singers. It's not Bing Crosby, it's Andy Williams. I just love his voice. I always remember he had those Christmas specials.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lot to look forward to.
And I'm sure you have a lot to look forward to, too.
When I was, many, many years ago, when I was a young lad,
okay,
we always celebrated Christmas on Christmas morning. So when I went to bed the night before on Christmas Eve, it was always hard to get to sleep. You know, you wondered what's, I mean, when I was really young, I'm thinking, well, is Santa Claus coming tonight or not? You know, what will I get?
So you did believe there was a Santa Claus?
For a time, yes, I did.
How old were you when you found out?
Oh, that's a toughie. I'm going to say 5 or 6, maybe.
Well, that was young.
Well, yeah, okay. But
you just didn't buy into it anymore, or did somebody tell you?
I think my older sister let the cat out of the bag. I wouldn't be at all surprised. Yeah. You know how older siblings are.
Yeah.
So what did you do? When did you open presents?
It varied. Sometimes it was Christmas Eve and sometimes it wasn't, because my dad worked for the phone company and there was always, he was an inside man. He wasn't an outside lineman or anything. He did all the computer stuff, and which turned out later was computer stuff, but all the circuitry. He was the inside guy. So somebody had to man it at all times, especially on Christmas.
Yeah.
So sometimes he had to work that day, so we would do Christmas Eve. So I think it was like once every 4 years we did Christmas Eve.
Okay.
But on Christmas Eve, we did get to open one present. I wonder how many people do that. They open one present. When my children were small, we always opened one present. I just kept that going on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we saved everything for Christmas morning.
Very good.
And generally, then, sometime in the afternoon, we would go. Many relatives that were living close by, so we'd go to one of the relatives' homes and have a nice dinner, and usually there'd be another gift or two passed around for everyone.
Yeah.
So that was always fun. Always look forward to that.
Good. I enjoyed Christmas. I believed there was a Santa Claus probably for a very long time.
So you were how old, do you think?
Maybe 6 or 7, maybe even 8, I don't know. I just enjoyed thinking about it, you know. Maybe I really didn't totally believe in it, but I kind of forced myself to believe it because it was kind of fun.
Sure. In our case, when I got up on Christmas morning, I couldn't wait to get out to the living room where the Christmas tree was, because invariably there were a lot of presents that had not been wrapped.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there were always things sitting there, and, you know, we were under the threat of Santa Claus will never come again if you kids don't leave this stuff alone and get up too early, you know.
Right.
But it was always fun to go out there and just look, because you could see these things that were not wrapped, and it was always a lot of fun.
Yeah. So in starting a new tradition, I looked up some ideas for Christmas traditions for people now, and one of them is to have a really nice Christmas breakfast. Now, I don't know, you could make, I suppose you could, if the children aren't so small, you could maybe wait to open them till after having a nice breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, waffles or whatever, yeah. Another tradition that a lot of families are doing now is that Self the Elf. What's his name? Self the Elf, where they hide this elf around? That's kind of have you heard of that one?
I have not, no.
Oh my gosh, yeah, Self the Elf. It's not Self the Elf, it's called Elf on the Shelf. And what they do is every night the parents hide this elf, and then the children have to find it. And I don't know the exact, because I didn't grow up with that, but a lot of parents use that.
I didn't
now.
Either. I
yeah,
didn't
elf either. On the shelf. And they're excited to see where their friend ends up every morning. Yeah. And did you guys do the Advent calendar? Like, you know, like, or like 30 days before Christmas, and you'd open this little thing to see what it would say, you'd get a little prize or something like that?
We generally did not.
Yeah.
I knew of that as I got older, had heard about it, but we generally did not have an Advent calendar. Not that I recall, anyway.
Yeah.
One of my sisters may correct me after they listen to this.
Yeah. Not well, you'll that have to I let them know. Well, what about Christmas caroling?
I did that with a group from church.
Okay.
Because I was in the choir, and so okay. we'd go around to...
How old were you?
Oh, at that time, I was in my teens, my late teens.
Yeah.
My mother twisted my arm and said that the choir needed additional members, and
okay.
she twisted my arm, and I became a member of the choir, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. And it was always a real joy to go to bundle up and then go from home to home and sing on someone's front porch. Everyone seemed to really enjoy that. I mean, it was just part of the season.
Yes, yeah.
It was a lot of fun for everyone.
I wonder if people are still doing that now. Maybe in a small town.
I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I took my kids. We took the whole neighbor. We prepared. We actually practiced.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We typed up the words, and we all practiced for like a week. Everybody got together, and the kids, and told them to get their scarves, get whatever. And then we went out Christmas caroling, and we held out a little hat and got donations. Some people gave us cookies, but a lot of people gave us money, and we divvied it up when it was all over.
Oh, cool.
And we divided everything up for the kids.
Now, that was here in Tucson, right?
Yes, it was.
So
yes.
you mentioned a scarf.
Yes.
In late December, or third week of December, in Tucson, Arizona, what would you expect at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening? What would you expect the temperature to be? It wouldn't be real cold, would it?
No, but it would get down to maybe 50 or 60.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
So a scarf would come in handy.
Well, it came in handy because it looked very Christmassy. Mm. So, yeah.
Okay.
And little, you know, we had little hats and things like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It was
very
a lot of fun.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. Did you write a letter to Santa when you were little?
Boy, I don't remember doing that.
I don't either. But they can do that if you put down for the address the North Pole. I think they're volunteers that answer those. I think it still goes on to where they drop them off and then volunteers will.
Well, that makes me think of a more up-to-date, newer tradition.
Yeah.
Have you ever followed Santa Claus's travels on Christmas Eve with the NORAD?
No, I
haven't. Every year they put that together, and it's for little kids. It's just got to be a really exciting thing to see. Oh, Santa Claus is in New York now, and he's getting closer. You know,
I
bet it that came later, of course. So
mm-hmm.
Never did that with my boys, but. I think it's a pretty popular thing right now.
So, and then another tradition is watching the marathon Christmas movies that are usually on AMC and, Turner Classic Movies. So, I'll tell everybody, what is your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, my. What is the one? I can't remember the name for sure, but the one where the young man gets his little air rifle for Christmas?
Oh, or the air rider. The Christmas Story. Christmas, yeah.
That would be my favorite, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, and they do marathons on that. That's my favorite, too.
Yeah.
I think that's really moved up to number one, Christmas Story, for sure. Well, what are some more Christmas movies?
Lee knows that I'm not much of a movie buff. She'll say, did you see? And before the rest of the words come out of her mouth, I'll say, I'm sure I didn't. But anyway, It's a Wonderful World? Is that
it's a Wonderful Life.
A Wonderful...
Yeah.
I don't even know the titles, let alone having seen them. But I did see that.
Yeah.
That's a Christmas movie, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because it was Christmas time, yeah. Every time a bell rings, Angel gets his wings. Remember that one?
No.
In there? Well, that's part of the movie.
Not only did I not see a lot of movies, I don't remember what happened in the movies I did see.
No, that was a great movie. And I did read about that movie. It was not a success. At that time, it was not a great success.
When it first came out?
Oh, no. Huh. And they blamed poor Donna Reed for it. Yeah, they blamed her for it. And lo and behold, it turned out to be quite the movie. But we also have, what about... it's Christmas, Charlie Brown, you know.
Oh,
they
sure.
Do a little Linus and, little Christmas.
And the Grinch who stole Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, there are some really good Christmas movies out there. And even, or recent ones like Four Christmases and things like that. I mean, it's a fun time to watch Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
They all seem to have a nice... heartwarming ending or whatever. That
right.
Yeah.
It's about loving and giving, and because, as Christians, that was the greatest gift of all.
Sure.
Was Jesus, God giving his son to us, he was born, so yeah.
You bet, yeah.
And what about donating presents? That's a good tradition that you can start with your family. And make it even if you don't do it, pick something out, wrap it together, or assign somebody to wrap it, somebody to buy it, another child to wrap it, and then all go together to donate it somewhere.
During the last few years, I say few years, it's probably been 10 or 12 years, the Veterans Home in Grand Rapids, Michigan had a huge Christmas tree. And they have changed it a little bit now, I understand. But they put men and women that were living in the home would put down their wish for Christmas, what they needed, what they would like to have, whether it was a toothbrush or a whatever. And then they would hang these on, they would write that on a gold star. They'd hang those on the Christmas tree, and people could go into the home. Since I worked at a place close to it, I was always nominated to, we need 12 stars this year to pass around for the family, or whatever. And then you'd buy the gift and wrap it, and then I'd take them back down to the home.
Yeah.
And I want to say patients, but that's really not, the residents of the home would then get what they wanted. So it was always kind of a heartwarming thing to do.
Cool.
Yeah.
It reminds me of you telling me that there was a King of Queens episode where they had this tree and they picked one. It was like, buy refrigerator, dishwasher. And they were like trying to put them back. Like, I ain't buying
them. Not going to do that.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, what about building a gingerbread house? Did you ever do that in your house, even when your children grown up?
Yes. I never got involved in that.
Okay.
That was not my forte, but yes.
You couldn't build a gingerbread house.
Yes,
yeah.
To build a gingerbread house with the young children was always fun, and they always enjoyed that, sure.
So did you use that? Because they have kits now. You can just do the kit.
Sure.
Yeah. Or you can make the gingerbread yourself. Now, do you like gingerbread?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. That's like, yeah. Yeah, I used to make gingerbread men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Usually did like a couple big ones, Then the kids could rip it apart. It's like, yank off the arms and decorate it. Yeah.
Sure.
So, do you have any favorite Christmas stories, I guess?
I can't quote chapter and verse, but isn't in the Bible, in Luke's gospel?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that where the Christmas story is found?
There was no room in the inn.
Right.
And yes, they were in a manger, and a manger that was like, it was really a barn, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, it was just a barn with animals, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
With straw, hay. Was
Absolutely.
There hay? Straw?
Yeah. And of course, one of the special things we did was go to the midnight candle lit service.
Okay.
On Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Oh,
I say
yeah.
midnight. Quite often it was at 10 or 11 o'clock.
Right, because that's kind of late to be
But it was always, the end of that service was always so touching because they turned down the lights and everyone had a candle that they were given when they came in.
Yeah.
And you'd light all those candles, pass it from one to another, and sing Silent Night.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Well, I know of a church that would probably have a good night service, Christmas Eve. Maybe we'll do that?
Maybe so.
Maybe we will. And
then I don't even know what day Christmas falls on this year. Do you know offhand?
Well, let's just take a peek here. December 25 is on a Saturday.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, certainly something to look forward to.
Oh, Christmas Eve would be Thursday or Friday. Yeah, Friday night.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, and then as far as traditions, I mean, I think tradition is a good thing when it comes to Christmas. It gives the children, if you have children, and even if they're teenagers, and you haven't started doing tradition, I think it's a good idea to, because then your grandkids will most likely have some traditions too. Yeah.
Now, were you a participant, or did your church have the Christmas play? At Christmas time?
Oh, yeah. I actually was a director of a Christmas play when my kids were small. Yeah.
Okay.
As you can imagine, I made it fun.
Oh, I
they,
would think
they had
so.
A lot,
sure.
They had a lot of fun. Yeah. So, let's see. Another tradition as far as like getting up and who wants to get the first present. I found this. It says, hide the pickle ornament. There's pickle ornaments.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. And so I guess the first one to find the pickle. But if they were small children, and maybe no offense, but if they were a lot of boys in the family, you might not have a tree afterwards. I see them all diving for the tree to find the pickle.
Now, was this a real pickle, or was that a Christmas ornament out of plastic?
It was a Christmas ornament, okay. Yeah. So there must be Christmas pickles. We'll have to, when we're at the mall, we'll have to look to see if there's any pickles out there.
That's a new one on me. I've not heard of that one before.
Well, I suppose you could almost get anything and say, well, you know, yeah.
One special ornament or whatever.
Yeah. Why not the Christmas olive? Or the Christmas avocado. How about
I
the
like
carrot?
It.
Or
I
the
like
carrot,
it.
Yes.
Sure.
And then did you put stockings out?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, were they personalized?
Oh, yes. Yep.
You had your name on it? Or
yes.
Your initial. A lot of times there's initials.
Of course, when I was growing up, we didn't have a mantle.
I didn't either.
We didn't have a fireplace, didn't have a mantle, but... Mom always found a place to hang the stockings.
Yeah, where was ours? Maybe, you know, I forget where our stockings were. And there really wasn't much in it. A lot of people, I think the stockings came from the part where, like, getting an orange was a big deal a long time ago. I mean, like, if you were, I don't know, you probably haven't seen the movie, but like Little Women, but way back, you know, and like probably the later 1800s. I mean, getting an orange was a big deal, especially back east.
Well, I remember getting a new pair of socks was a big deal to us.
Really? That's
and,
great.
You know, shout out to Nancy. Hey, sister. I'm sure you'll correct me if I'm wrong. And, of course, there's 7 years between our ages, so she might have gotten different things than I did. But I remember, you know, a pair of socks was a pretty cool deal.
So usually they show, like, especially in like Christmas time, when you get socks, you just throw them over your shoulder, like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the toy model train. I assume it was a Lionel train that would do the whistle, and there were little pills that you could put down the chimney of the locomotive, and once it heated up, little puffs of smoke would come out of that.
Wait, what are we talking about? Explain what are we talking about?
I'm just thinking of a Christmas memory, and we had always had a track
really?
With a Lionel train that when you hooked everything up and plugged it into the wall, and it had a transformer
to make it. Did it go around the base of the tree?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Well,
and
see, that's great.
If Paul was playing with it and he forgot to turn the transformer all the way off or unplug it, would be even better, by morning, that transformer would stink to high heaven.
Wow.
I don't know exactly what was in there, but
oh wow!
I remember it not making Dad very happy when he'd come out of the bedroom and the house was full of this terrible, odor.
On Christmas morning or just any morning?
Yeah, on Christmas morning.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Well, just one of those fond memories.
Very nice. I like that. Okay.
So anyway, some of those memories are just wonderful and things that you carry with you for your entire life.
Mistletoe.
Yes.
Did you put up mistletoe?
I don't remember that.
We always had mistletoe.
Did you?
Yeah, my parents, they'd always kiss under it.
You know, maybe there was.
A lot of times you found mistletoe when you were in the office. I don't know why. Why do I remember that in offices that I've worked at? That somebody put mistletoe up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's fun too.
Yeah, mistletoe. So there's a tradition you can do. And then, of course, you know, open one present on Christmas Eve. I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
That we did that. That was our tradition. Got to pass something around. Now, I would make... my parents did too when I was younger. She baked the cookies and then she had all the icings ready to go with all the little sprinkles and all those things, you know. And we decorated the cookies. And I carried that on with my kids when they were young. We did Christmas cookies. Oh, yeah.
Now, being a real native born and raised in Ohio,
right.
Did you folks have Buckeyes? My mom and dad moved to Ohio late in his career, and she found out about Buckeyes, which is a peanut butter ball that you then dip in a pot of molten chocolate.
Right.
So that you'd leave just a little bit at the top so that it would look like a Buckeye nut.
Right.
Right? Well, that was oh my gosh, she'd make hundreds of
mm-hmm.
those.
Oh, wow.
Slave over the stove and dip those things one by one all day long. And I loved them.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Peanut butter and chocolate, how could you go wrong? It's good stuff.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I don't remember my mother ever making them. Well, we had so many Buckeyes because the park right a block away was filled with Buckeye trees. It was just,
okay.
You know, yeah. It was near... It was called Burchard Park, and it was near where President Hayes, his memorial, is a house where he lived, and it was Spiegel Grove, and a museum, and things like that. So that was pretty close, but so we had all these Buckeyes, and we would collect them and make necklaces and things out of them. So, but I don't remember my mom, and I have never yet made an edible Buckeye treat. Yeah.
Did you eat the Buckeyes, the real ones?
Oh, no, I think they might be poison. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Don't want to eat them. I'm not sure on that, but okay. I don't think that we ever, no, I don't think you can eat a Buckeye.
Well, the fake wannabe Buckeyes were delicious.
But yeah, it's a tradition you can get on your favorite recipe. Get and pass this recipe on to your children, and this is the family sugar cookie recipe. Because there are different types of sugar cookies. So there are good ones and there are not so good ones. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The one I remember, as far as cookies go, are again, they had a Hershey's Kiss. Well, I guess you'd make the cookie, and I don't know what out of, but it had granulated sugar sprinkled over it, and then a Hershey's Kiss
mushed down
in the center of it.
Right.
Oh,
they
those were good.
Thumbnail,
I like those.
Hershey's Kiss thumbnail cookies or something.
Yeah, I
think there's
know.
A thumbnail. Yeah, because you use your thumbnail to push it down in there. Yeah.
Makes
sense.
I think
I've made those before, but I did a lot of cookies, but I did like gingerbread. That was a mainstay, to do gingerbread. And I had the little cookie guy, the old-fashioned cookie.
Lee, you've been a nomad for a long time, and we always like to include the nomad slant in our subjects, whatever it happens to be. Do you know if nomads have special Christmas traditions or things that they do? Or did you, over the last 5 years, do anything special for Christmas?
Well, I've always been in Tucson. Either I was in Ohio at Christmas or I've always been in Tucson. So I think a lot of nomads, what they do for, I imagine if they don't have family close by. I had just happened to have family in Tucson. So, and nomads end up in Arizona anyway. So I'm lucky in that respect. But I would imagine that they just maybe go to a dinner, have a dinner, mm-hmm. and go out to eat. And if they have friends, they maybe campfire if they're out boondocking, or I don't know. That's a great question. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if some don't have a miniature Christmas tree that they could put on top of their rig somehow.
Oh, yes.
And maybe string lights, like your fairy lights might, and the ones that we just reviewed recently, yeah. you recently reviewed on your...
My videos.
Your
my YouTube
videos.
Channel, yes. Those Please that, subscribe, by the way. YouTube, Minivan Lee.
But those would be very cool because they twinkle in different ways. So those would be cool if you'd string those around your rig, something like that.
Well, I have fairy lights that are stringed around the ceiling of my minivan.
Sure.
And there's one setting that is, they're like Christmas lights, yeah.
Okay, cool.
So, I turn those on during the day at Christmas. You know, we're traveling together, so I'm sure let's come up with some tradition.
You bet.
We can pick one of these,
Hide the pickle, perhaps, in the tree, and...
Hide the olive. I want to hide the olive, yeah. Hide the carrot.
There you go.
So, and then we'll be, do we have to wait until Christmas to open our gift?
I don't know. We haven't discussed that.
I know. I mean, you know, maybe we should get two presents each. One on Christmas.
One for Christmas Eve and one for Christmas Day?
I know. I'll put out on here a new rig. We'll get out a little dish and put some little candies. What's for dinner on Christmas?
Well, now, wait a minute. Is the dish and the candy for Santa Claus or what? What?
There is no Santa Claus, remember.
What? Don't tell me that.
I got to tell the story.
Oh, she just broke my heart.
I'll tell you a story. This might give me an indication of my childhood, right? I was the youngest, and this was, I know we're going to talk to you, but we're going to talk Easter, and I was eating breakfast. I think I was way old enough to know. And my mom came out and said, I have to tell you something. There is no Easter Bunny. And you know, I cried. I sat there and I cried. And I don't think it was because of that. I think it was very symbolic. I guess my childhood's over.
That's it.
There is no Easter Bunny. But I was upset. I was not like upset. I was very sad. I thought, oh. And I was just tears running down. Not to get you guys all upset. But
that was a major step towards adulthood.
It was.
Did she tell you about no tooth fairy also?
That's a whole nother program. What's with the tooth fairy? Why are these teeth, you know, like, yeah, that's something. And then, of course, change. Maybe today they put a stick of 20 under their pillow.
Oh, my gosh.
With inflation, my goodness.
Well.
Yeah.
Hopefully the kids don't realize that inflation has got that quarter dime or whatever
up in the high life, you know, they probably stick maybe a silver coin under there, a nice silver dollar. Woo!
That would be nice.
But yeah, so we'll have to come up with some Christmas traditions, and we'll let y'all know about what we've decided. And so are we going to decorate your rig here? We're going to put
Well, I do have a string of lights.
Okay.
That change colors, and much like your fairy lights.
No,
I don't call mine fairy lights, of course, but I do
Where's
have
Where's your fairy lights?
I do have a string of colored lights that flash on and off at different settings.
That is funny.
So I'm sure we'll use those, absolutely. I don't know if it'd be inside or outside. Well, I saw my first what should I call it? I guess it would, well, it was a Rudolph vehicle. It was an SUV of some kind.
And you put the reindeer on there?
The antlers sticking out both the front windows.
Well, why don't you do that? Wouldn't that be funny?
And then they had a big round, probably a 6-inch diameter red ball right in the center of their grill in the front of the vehicle. And they're going to run around like that between now and Christmas, I guess.
Now, we could get some real a pine and put it all around. Could all the pines start falling all over your ring?
Well, that would smell good, though.
I got 2 candles today.
Oh, really?
One was pine tree, and the other one was like, I think it's called sugar and spice.
Oh, nice.
Kind of cinnamony spice,
Now, do you plan to burn that inside your rig?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not scared.
Well, be careful.
Well, I'm not scared of a candle. I mean, I'm sitting right there, you know. Yeah. So, I haven't had a candle in a while, and I'm going to burn some candles, Well, this has been fun talking about Christmas tradition. So everybody start getting your Christmas traditions going if you don't have any. But I'm guessing that most of you already do.
Oh,
I
bet.
And I would love to know about them.
I bet they do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fun to reminisce, too, about days gone by and what we used to do.
And we have children who still have children at home, so.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And I have children with little ones. I mean, little ones.
Yeah.
I think my two youngest, well, I have a 6 or 7. My youngest are 7, and then she has a brother who's 2.5.
Okay.
And then my son has a young child who's like going on 5, I believe. But then I have older grandchildren, too.
Well, so. I think that young children make Christmas special.
Right.
That's
I think Christmas is just special for everybody.
Well.
I really do.
Yeah.
Now, do you send gifts to all your grandchildren and your...
Have you heard of Amazon gift cards?
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah.
I take the easy way out, I guess.
Well, poor Paul, he has to, whenever we walk into the mall at Dillard's, and I always got to stop and look at, and I have to touch all the little... cute dresses that I know my granddaughter can wear. I don't know what size she would be. I guess maybe size 7. It sort of goes with the age at that point.
Does it? Okay.
And 7 or 8. Yeah. Oh, and I look at these dresses and I'm like, oh, I would think which one would she like?
Well, very good. This has been fun. And I hope you folks have enjoyed it and laughed along with us at some of these silly things that we came up with. But it is a wonderful time of the year. There's no question about that. And we hope that you had a great Thanksgiving and didn't eat too much. Again, thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're here.
And we'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely. And be cool.